missional, which is, I think, God's heartbeat. I really do. God showed missions when he left heaven and came to earth. And he told us that we're supposed to be fulfilling his ministry. And so if you don't have a missional heart, I don't know if you understand God's heart. And so for a church like yours to be as supportive of the missions that y'all do says a lot about your church. And we are happy that you are our neighbor. And we hope that we're a good neighbor to you as well. There's a passage. Oh, and before I move on, I just have to do this. I thoroughly enjoyed the warm welcome of all the Aggie supporters in the congregation. I don't get that all the time. In fact, when I first came to A&M Commerce, it was just a few years after they joined the A&M system. And part of my job is to go to churches like this, and especially meetings of associations of Baptist churches. And I can't tell you how many times I had people come up to me at those meetings and say, some jokingly, but some rather indignantly, I am from East Texas State, and I am not an Aggie. When they were serious, I just said, well, I smiled, and I said, I understand. When it seemed like they were kind of a personality that would appreciate humor, I'd say, well, good, people should know their limitations. You do realize that all Aggies are going to heaven, right? That's right. We haven't reached the age of accountability. And we always have a built-in excuse. You mess up, so they get on to you, you go, I'm an Aggie. What did you expect? So it's wonderful. But anyway, let's get into God's Word. One of my most favorite passages, and one that honestly is a foundational passage for me and my understanding of God's call on my life as a minister to college students, is in Ephesians chapter 4. And you might not, when you initially read this, say, well, that obviously is a passage about ministering to college students. People stand in honor of God's Word. I'm not going to ask you to do that today because I'm going to kind of go through it piece by piece and not read it all at one time. But in verse 11 of chapter 4, Paul is writing and says, and God gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the doing of all the ministry at church, leading all the committees at the church, doing all the visitation at the church, etc., etc. Well, if you're following along, you know that's not what that says, right? In too many of our churches, we have a completely unbiblical understanding of what the role of our pastors are. And we typically, and I do it too because it's just habit, refer to them as ministers when really we're all supposed to be ministers. The leaders in the church are supposed to be pastors and teachers. And the reason God has given those leaders, it says very clearly in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, or you could put the work of ministry. And what is that work of service? And he explains it. And, you know, don't you love Paul? He writes in such simple sentences, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. His sentences go on and on and on. But there is tons of meat here. So pay attention to what he says. To the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. A lot of words, right? But he's saying that what the work of service is, what the ministry of the body of Christ is to work until every single one of us looks just like Jesus. Until we have the knowledge and the fullness and the maturity that Jesus Christ has. That is what these verses are saying. That's the goal of the body of Christ. And the pastors, the leaders that he gives us, are to equip everybody so that we all play our role in that. And here's what it says in verse 14. And this is where it does kind of apply a lot to ministry to college students. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And trust me, there's a lot of that out there wrapped up in supposed Christianity. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now that is a picture of the body of Christ, not just college ministry, okay? But I have to say that I really do believe that God's call on my life and the giftedness He's given me and the opportunity He's given me to minister and lead students in a college ministry is to take college students who are at such a wonderful point in their life. They are open to learning and experiencing new things, and they're ready to get on with life. They are ready to become mature. They're ready to become adults. They want to figure it out. That's where they're at. And so you've got these teachable, moldable, shapeable young people. I don't remember if I mentioned this in your small group. I think I did. But studies show that what people between 18 and 25 spend their time, money, and energy on, and who they hang out with, are the things that they spend their time, money, energy on, and the people that they hang out with the rest of their adult lives. The habits of your life are established in that time as an adult. Doesn't mean that you can't change. You can. But it's extremely difficult. And they say that if people are not reached for Christ in that time frame, it is extremely unlikely that people will come to Christ after the age of 25. Now, God's a big God, and He can do anything, and you probably know stories of people older than that who have come to Christ. But it's not real often. This is our last best chance. And that's one of the reasons the Baptist Student Ministry exists on this campus that is your neighbor. There are over 13,000 people enrolled in the Texas A&M Commerce system. Now, they don't all attend the campus in Commerce, but the vast majority of them do. And it is our last chance as the body of Christ to reach them with the message of Christ. And so we're very much your mission arm, your outreach arm to that neighborhood, trying to take the message of Christ and embody it. And students need to be the ones who do that. They will do it best. I can walk on the campus and try to talk to students, and I do. But I'm 57, and I don't look like a college student. And if I walk up to a student I don't know and start talking to them, in the back of their mind, they're going, "Who are you, and why are you talking to me?" And just the fact that I am as old as I am, they've already turned off, because I certainly can't know what they're going through and experiencing in life. Students need to reach students. And so we need to have a ministry on that campus, in that community, that's equipping people to share the message of Christ with other people in that community. we need to be letting our young Christian college-age students know what their role is in the body of Christ. You notice that it keeps talking about all these different things that every joint is supposed to supply and every part doing its part in the ministry. How does that happen? Where in the church do we learn what our role is, what our part is? And when do you start experiencing how to develop that? Now, we tell students all the time that you need to be part of a local church. We don't have mature school teachers in the BSM. We don't have too many husbands and wives in the BSM. We certainly don't have anybody with little kids, at least hardly anybody with little kids, in the BSM. These college students are going to be experiencing that real quick. And they need to be learning about that, and they're not going to learn that in the BSM. They got to learn it in church. And so we need to connect them to that. But there's also not a lot of those people on the campus either. And that's why these people need to be reaching the rest of the people on the campus. But how do they learn how to do that? Well, we got to give them the chance. We got to give them the opportunity. Yes, you can read books. You can hear things. You can hear messages. You can gather information. But you don't really learn something until you do it. Isn't that right? And until you work a math problem for yourself, you don't really know math. Until you learn how to drive a car yourself, you don't really know how to drive. You can watch films and study it all you want, but until you get behind the wheel and push on the pedals, you don't know what you're doing. We are equipping college students to figure out what their part is. In our BSM, students don't come in and I tell them what they're going to do. Okay? We ask students to volunteer to be leaders, and then we ask them to pray. And we ask them, what are your gifts? What are your interests? What are your passions? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? How could you see God using that to reach other college students? And then I try to help them with resources and talking to them about how God can use them to reach college students. And so we have 18 or 20 different small groups that meet every week, and some of them are Bible studies. But there's a lot of other things, like the praise band, for students who have giftedness in that area and need an opportunity to learn how to lead others so that they can worship God better. And so we're working to try to help students know that and realize that God has called them and gifted them and equipped them, not just so that they're good at music or good at teaching a Bible study, but so that they can be a better neighbor, so that they can learn to interact with people and how God can use them to interact with people. We also challenge them. God doesn't always only use the things that you're good at. God often calls you to get better than you are and challenges us with things that we do need to get better at, like communicating and trusting and walking by faith instead of in your own strength. And so God's always calling us to do things that we can't really do. He's stretching us. He wants us to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has not called His followers to comfortable lives. He's equipped you with gifts and abilities and talents and wants to use those. Whoops. But He's not going to just use you in ways that are comfortable and easy. He's always going to call you to do more and be more. And if he's not challenging you in those areas, either you're not willing to learn and stretch and be grown, and he can't do anything because you're not willing to be obedient, or maybe you're not letting yourself pay attention to what he's telling you and get stretched. We have this horrible tendency in the church, especially in America, that if it's hard, it must not be God's will. If it's going to test us, well, surely that's not a good thing, because we could fail and then God looks bad, right? That's why so many of us don't talk to people about Jesus. We don't share our faith because we don't feel comfortable doing that. We're afraid. We know how we've failed. And if they ask us a question in an area that we failed at, then oops, there goes our witness. Well, your witness isn't about you. It's about Jesus. It will never be comfortable because you're talking about something bigger than you are that you don't fully understand. That requires faith. And there's an element to it that makes you look foolish. Scripture says that. The wisdom of God is foolishness to men. And we don't want to look foolish. So we tend to back off. But God is waiting for every joint to supply what only it can supply. He's waiting for every part to do what only it can do. And the sad truth is, the body itself, as well as the individuals in it, are not going to fulfill this passage of Scripture of all of us attaining the unity of the faith and the maturity of Christ unless all of us are willing to obey. One of our misunderstandings, I think, we all struggle with sin. If you don't struggle with sin, you're not living. Okay? That is supposed to teach us to depend upon God. God's not waiting for every one of us to solve our own problems and then he can use us. The reason we struggle is to teach us to depend upon him and to confess that we need him. And that's supposed to be as much of our witness as all the good stuff of the great things God's done in our lives. Okay? You don't have to have the perfect family and the perfect job and the perfect bank account before you can be a faithful witness of the goodness of God in your life. In fact, it's when we struggle. That's where people relate to. One of my most favorite stories I've ever heard. There was a BSM director out on the West Coast who was ministering, and he had contact with an international student and had been trying to build that relationship and be a picture of Christ and share Christ with this student. And he had thought a good thing to do, Thanksgiving, everybody has to leave the campus. International students don't have anywhere to go, don't have family and friends to go to. So he invited this international student to come have Thanksgiving dinner with he and his family, thinking be a great witness, maybe talk about Thanksgiving and why and who we thank. And it turned out to be one of those days where nothing went right. The kids were just not in a good mood, and they were picking on each other and fighting, and they had to get onto them over and over and over again, and got exasperated a little bit, to be honest, and didn't show the most loving attitudes towards their kids. The Thanksgiving dinner, all of it didn't get done well and right. The ladies, you know how that sometimes happens. It just doesn't cook right, or things don't come together. You don't have something you thought you had. And it was just, the whole day was just kind of a frustration, and nothing seemed to go right. And they had dinner, and the day was over, and the international student left, and the director was thinking, well, that was a complete and total failure. Didn't have a Jesus conversation at all, and not sure that we showed Jesus very well at all in what we did. Well, shortly after Thanksgiving is obviously Christmas break, and so he didn't really have any contact with that international student. And school starts in January, and he's been off doing stuff that BSN directors do over Christmas break, like mission trips and other stuff like that. So he's back, school started, he goes back to his church after being out a couple of Sundays. He's sitting there, and the invitation time comes, and this international student walks the aisle. And that church let people share why they wanted to come to Jesus when people did that. And the international student gets up and says, "I've been going to this church and I've been going to BSM for a while now, and I have heard about Jesus. And I felt that there was something there and something that I needed. But I didn't understand it until I went to Thanksgiving dinner with my BSN director's family." And he said, "It was a day that it was obvious nothing went right. And it was a frustrating day. But the love that they showed each other in the midst of their frustrations is what convinced me that there was something real to this Christian life." Every joint has to supply what only it can supply. And you have to be willing to be used. You have to be willing to submit and obey and trust. And you have to be willing to be a neighbor. You have to be willing to invest your life in people that you don't know or don't know well. People that might not be like you. People that may reject you or think that you're silly because you follow a God that you can't prove to them. God has called us to grow up, to be mature, to be the body of Christ that presents a clear picture to the world of what Jesus Christ is like. That is His mission. That's what we're trying to help college students do through Baptist Student Ministry on our campus. That's what your church is trying to do. And our world desperately needs good neighbors. I hope God is going to help you become a better neighbor. Brother Jimmy, I'm going to turn this over to you.